Welcome to Decide to Transform. You made it to level 2, deeper questions leading to deeper answers. I'm Tomas Garza, and I'm here to help you decide to transform. I'll be setting the pace for the process to support your unfolding. Learn and commit to a practice that brings simplicity and awareness of what is ready to be released. Join me now and allow the experience of a deeper sense of love. Welcome, welcome. Hello, and this is Decide to Transform. Welcome to the show. I'm your host, Tomas Garza, and I hope that everybody had a very happy Thanksgiving and that you are enjoying the start of the holiday season. For some of you, that may have already begun. And this is the second ever episode of Decide to Transform. The debut show was last week, and I hope that some of you were able to catch that here on Om Times Radio. If you were not, that is available currently on the YouTube channel for Om Times Radio, where you can view that in its entirety. And that was a great deal of fun. We have a really, really powerful and hard-hitting show for you today, and I'll share a little bit about what that is going to cover. December 3rd is a very special day in my life. It's for strange reasons that may not seem obvious at first. Today, the 3rd of December, is the six-year anniversary of a major car accident that I had, where I was T-boned at 55 miles an hour and woke up in the hospital and had to learn to walk again. That's the Cliff Notes version. We'll be going through a lot of that today. And like today, that December 3rd is a Tuesday. So I thought, what a perfect opportunity to go through some of the lessons that I have learned, because that is, in fact, what I'm here to do in the first place, is to share and teach from my experience, including a lot of the things that led up to that accident that I was directly and indirectly responsible for. So if you caught the first episode last week, you'll know that this show in general is going to cover massive internal personal transformation in your own life. That is the theme. I love the term massive transformation. You'll hear it often. We'll cover universal spirituality and practical things that you can do in the middle of your daily life to effect this change and to begin to remake yourself, to begin to transform, to begin to step into the person that you were meant to become, and to start living and being your highest, best self. Lots of practical tips were coming down the line in the next few weeks here. And we'll also cover the power of decision. We'll cover limiting stories that we tell ourselves. And really, it's my goal to just have as much practical information as you can get in a one-hour show. That is going to be most of the format. We will have occasional guest teachers, and I don't have any lined up for today because I'm going to take you through this really, really interesting and quite long saga that I've been through personally. We'll take listener questions. In fact, we've got three of them on the show today that are very, very interesting, that will hopefully spark some real interesting thoughts for you, and you may resonate with this. We'll also do a short guided meditation before the end of the hour here that will enable you to focus a little bit more on staying open and staying alert to the messages that your experience has for you, because that's what we're covering. And practicality is going to get woven in throughout. So again, this is a special anniversary show. December 3rd, 2013 was a very, very interesting day in my life. And I want to start, before I launch in, to some of the background and the story which I know that there are people out there listening that will resonate with this. I know that this is going to speak to many of you today. So I really, really hope that you get something powerful and meaningful out of it. I want to start with a couple of basic premises. And I'm going to be speaking today from the premise that there's always a lesson for us. There's always a lesson for us that the universe, that our experience, is trying to teach us. And we're often, especially as adults, stubborn. I am most definitely guilty of that, as you'll see. And we're often in a position where we don't heed the lessons. For whatever reason, we tell ourselves that we're too busy or things are manageable just as they are, which was the case with me, that there's always something that will keep us from heeding the lessons if we pay attention to them. And what happens is that our experience, the universe, tries other methods to get our attention, and it will keep trying to teach us the lesson again and again until we get it. And as it turns out, if we refuse in our stubbornness, in our ignorance, in our darkness and delusion to refuse to heed the message, the universe will smack us. It will yell at us. It will try different ways to get our attention. And you'll see how that happened to me. Second premise, things happen for a reason when they're supposed to. So I'm operating off of these basic premises today as I go through my story. There's always a lesson for us, and things happen for a reason. So whether you feel that way or not, I want to invite you for the rest of the hour to just let these premises sit in your mind. Let them percolate and just let them bounce around in your head here. That things happen for a reason, and there's always a lesson in everything. And as you might imagine, the theme for today is openness to the lessons and acceptance of divine timing. And in fact, that is the title of today's show, Divine Timing. So it's about openness, and it's about acceptance. Now let me take you through some of the backstory here. As you know, the accident occurred on December 3rd, 2013, which was, like today, a Tuesday, and it was an ordinary day for me. It began as an ordinary work day. At the time, I was in private practice as a divorce and child custody mediator, a family mediator, and living in the state of Oregon. So some of you may be from Oregon, and for those who are not, there is a system in place where families that are going through a really hard transitional process, like a separation or a divorce, have to go through mediation if they have children, because they must complete a document that the court calls a parenting plan, talking about the custody of the kids, the parenting time arrangements, who gets them for holidays, and what the arrangements are. And often people don't agree on that. Maybe you have been in that position yourself. Maybe you are also divorced and separated. Perhaps you also had a dispute over custody, either of children or of possessions, possibly of animals. I saw a lot of things in my career as a mediator, which I did for 13 years. So Tuesday, the 3rd of December, 2013, was a day just like any other. I woke up, put on my clothes, and had breakfast, drank coffee, everything normal except the way that I felt about that. And I felt almost like I was sleepwalking through my own life. I almost felt on that day, for some reason, that I was observing myself from outside my body, which in fact I have done on occasion. Maybe some of you have done the same. I have done that, but I felt like I was doing that, and I just felt a pull that morning to go back to bed. But in my own fashion, I decided to get in the car, start it, and drive to work. Now, I had to drive about 45 to 50 minutes away to a neighboring town in the state of Oregon, the divorce and child custody mediation cases are appointed to people on a mediation roster, in other words, a panel. So I had contracts with neighboring counties and had to drive to see clients in that county. In fact, on this day, I was going to a city nearby to teach a class on parent education, parenting post-divorce, lots of stressful things. So if this conjures up images of stress and frustration and tension and anger and constriction in you, I understand completely. It was very, very difficult for me at the end of a 13-year career to practice this, because normal people that are most likely wonderful people in their own right would come into my office and they would just spew hatred at each other, at me in general. And of course they're frustrated, of course they're angry, hurt, betrayed, and projecting that fear, which we all do as human beings. But it was very difficult after several years to sit with it. And the bottom line is that I had wanted to quit for some time. I had wanted to quit and had never been able to bring myself to do it. In fact, the furthest that I ever got along that continuum of actually resigning was drafting a series of resignation letters on my computer, and I would save them and think, okay, well, yeah, I'll come back to that later. And the reason was because I was doing well financially. This may resonate with some of you, where you may find yourselves in a job or in a career situation that pays the bills, and that more than pays the bills. It enables you to take vacations. It enables you to pay off debt, to have nice things. You may feel that you're somewhat abundant in that arena, and if you happen to enjoy what you're doing, if it happens to mesh and align with your calling and your purpose in life, then that is absolutely fantastic. But that's not always the case for all of us. And it was most definitely not the case for me. I had been dreaming of quitting as a mediator for several years, but the contracts kept getting renewed automatically. I never had any trouble in 13 years getting my contracts renewed. That was never an issue. And the pay always increased over time. And the referral stream was constant. Once I got on these panels, so to speak, these mediation rosters, the cases came to me automatically. Why? Because people are always suing people. Someone's always having a disagreement, and if there are children involved, then the court gets involved and says, you must go through mediation and try to come up with an agreement. Of course, they can't force people to do that, but we were very successful, so I enjoyed a professional reputation and that sort of status, and the kind of thing that a lot of people are raised to believe in, to dream about. And that status has a lot of value to people. And early on, it had value to me until the toxicity came into play. So here I was on the 3rd of December, months after I had drafted my first round of resignation letters. In fact, I drafted more than one round and kept coming back to the theme, but kept going back for the money, essentially. And for the comfort and the security of knowing that I was going to get a steady paycheck at some point, and everything was going to be just fine. I was going to maintain my house. I was going to maintain the lifestyle that I had gotten used to. But the problem was that it was bringing me down. It was eating me alive, and I began to notice after several years that I needed to take more frequent vacations, that I needed to prioritize my self-care. And I did that, I just didn't do it enough, because I just kept my head down and my mind focused on the one day at a time, one case at a time, one conversation at a time, which has wisdom. It does. It has wisdom. It has value. But when you find yourself in a position where you're ignoring the universe screaming at you, then that can become an issue. And it did most definitely become an issue for me. And the work had me really deeply depressed, which I didn't know at the time, but it was depressing. And it, in fact, it is depressing. If you've been through a divorce, you know that it is not the greatest, most happy, wonderful, loving time in your life. It's stressful, it's painful, and it brings up a lot of baggage, a lot of things that we all need to release and let go of as human beings. So I felt kind of trodden down. I felt like I had the look all the time of a person that hadn't slept. I looked like plowed ground to that's a phrase that that comes to mind, is an image that comes to mind, because I looked like I had just been run over by a bulldozer all the time, and scowling and frowning, which isn't me. This is not my personality. And I set out for work on December 3rd, 2013, just like any other day, off to teach a class to people that didn't want to be there. And I was going to see some more clients in the same city, in the same neighboring city that afternoon. Lots of cases lined up for people that didn't want to be there. And at the end, even at a successful end of a mediation, I would often catch myself saying, "Well, I hope we don't meet up again." So, what kind of business model is that, right? Where you do not want to see your clients again. In fact, you don't want repeat business deliberately. That's where I was set up. And that's where I was going the morning of December 3rd. And when we come back from the break, I'll tell you all about what happened next. So stay tuned. You're listening to Decide to Transform on Om Times Radio.
Connecting you with the best of the conscious minds in the world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Connect at omtimes.com. Om Times, creating a more conscious lifestyle.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
Hi, I'm Tomas Garza, author of Decide and host of Decide to Transform on Om Times Radio. I want to ask you, if you want something in life, have you decided on it? If not, you'll listen to a limiting story about yourself. You will say you can't, you're too old, too young, etc. Decide to transform in life. Learn what you can choose to believe instead of your limiting stories. Decide. Available now in paperback and ebook. Welcome back. You're listening to Decide to Transform. I'm Tomas Garza, your host. And before the break, I was laying some backstory for an auto accident that I had on December 3rd, 2013. And I'll go through some of that in just a moment. But I wanted to share the backstory with you because I want to start from the premise that the universe is always trying to teach us something. But there's always a lesson in every single experience that we have, and we have to show up and be aware of that, and we have to choose to heed that or not. And that's our choice. That is our decision to make. We can choose to heed the message, or we can choose to ignore it. And if we ignore it often enough, this may happen, that the universe will smack us. And in fact, it may be a violent smack. And in my case, on the way to work on December 3rd, 2013, it was getting T-boned at 55 miles an hour. Some of you may have been in an auto accident, some of you in a severe auto accident, and I'm sure that there are people listening right now who have even lost loved ones in an automobile accident. It unfortunately happens, and it happened to me. I don't remember it, but what I'm told is that I was T-boned, the other vehicle was absolutely fine, and I, in fact, woke up in the hospital. The only thing I remember from that drive to a neighboring city to go to work is getting gas. So unfortunately, I pumped a full tank of gas into the car before it was completely totaled. So I do remember that. And I also remember a brief moment where they had to peel the roof off of my car. It was a red Honda Civic, to give you a visual. And they have a machine where they extract people from crunched up automobiles. They used that to peel the roof off my car, and it peels up like a can of sardines. I remember that, and then I went blank again. And the next thing is I'm in the hospital with an auto wreck, and the funny thing is, this was really harsh. There was a ticket, an actual police ticket, on my lap that they left for me for when I woke up, because apparently I am told that I did not stop at the stop sign. Why, I don't know, because I had taken that route dozens and dozens and dozens of times. So what was different about that morning? Well, I don't know. I'll never know. And I don't know if I stopped or not, because I wasn't conscious. So that's not worth arguing. That ticket I paid, because it's definitely not worth arguing. How are you going to argue that? And I had friends and family that were indignant and said, are you going to argue about that? Well, no, I'm not going to. Why? Because I was unconscious, and it's the other driver's word against mine, and I couldn't speak. In fact, I couldn't breathe very easily, and I was helped, as I'm told, by a couple of people that were in the car behind me. They helped me to reposition and readjust myself so that I could breathe normally. And the door on my driver's side door was totally smashed in, and as it turns out, my acetabulum, which is a bone in your hip, was totally shattered. It's a bone that surrounds the hip joint, and the hip joint was fine. My nervous system was fine and is fine. No brain or spinal cord damage. I'm very fortunate. But I wound up having to go to Portland, Oregon, for a 6.5-hour surgery and a 13-day stay in the hospital, which was not pretty. And if you've ever been there, you will know that that is it's very, very difficult to have to learn how to walk again. And I found myself initially doing what I could do to stay positive. And it would work sometimes, and it wouldn't work other times, because I fell prey to the same thing that we all get caught in. We can tend to get caught in the poor me, why did this happen to me? This is a really terrible thing. Why did this auto accident happen to me? Poor me. It's victim mentality, and it's really, really easy to fall into, isn't it? We all do this. I did that, and I had to pull myself out of that, and I didn't get to really walk again for a couple of months. I had to retrain myself. So if you've ever been injured, you may relate to the sensation of having to talk yourself through basic procedures that you do every day, like going to the refrigerator and opening it without falling down, something we take for granted every day, don't we? Unless we're injured and we have to walk ourselves through that. And that might have frankly been the weirdest thing about this entire experience, is the act of having to think through, okay, I'm going to place my right hand right here on the counter, and with my left foot I'm going to inch forward, and with my left hand I'm going to grab the refrigerator door, I'm going to brace myself with my right hand, then I'm going to gently pull. And I had those conversations with myself all the time, so I didn't fall down and re-injure myself. So there is a picture up on my Facebook page, Tomas Garza, with my hip. It's an x-ray of my hip with all of the hardware. And I just want to point out, because it's December, because it's winter time, there is a lot of scar tissue around the, well, I call them my slash marks from the surgery, which it's kind of a dark humor kind of way of looking at that, to be sure. But that's what they are. And they had to go in so they could put the bone back together. And all of the hardware is still there. And so, too, is the scar tissue. And that will always be there. The issue is December 3rd and scar tissue, if you have some. Winter scar tissue, not elastic. It freezes up and it becomes very, very difficult. So as I sit right now, I'm seated on a comfortable couch. I'm wrapped in a blanket and I have a hot liquid right next to me. There's a cup of tea because it's really difficult to move. And now, happily, my wife Cindy and I are headed back to Mexico this evening. We're going to fly back. We have a beach house in the state of Yucatan where it's hot and warm, and the scar tissue can loosen up and I'll have my mobility back, but it's really not there right now. And I just want to share that. If winter's difficult for you, I totally get it. I get it because I'm living it right now. And, you know, after the auto accident, if you've ever done physical therapy, it's brutal. If you enjoyed it, okay, great. I did not. I did not enjoy it at all. That was hard. That was very difficult. And then I was left with a decision to make that became really, really easy. And I'm circling back to the premise that there's always a lesson for us and things happen for a reason. I did not heed the call to quit my job as a child custody mediator. I really did not. And as a result, I had an auto accident on my way to work. Here's what happened. I couldn't serve my clients from the hospital because I was on some very, very heavy, very interesting pain medication that I really wanted to get off of as quickly as possible. And it was heavy duty. So you can't well conduct a mediation when you're completely gorked out. And I had all of my cases transferred to my colleagues. I had a clean slate. And I quit. That was what it took for me to get out of a situation that wasn't serving me. A massive auto accident, totaled car, totaled bone in my hip that was surgically reconstructed, and then a lifetime of difficult winters if I am not in a warm climate, which I aim to be as often as I can from October to May. And Western Oregon is a place that I do love. However, it's humid, it's cold, it's October to May, wet, and it makes me hurt. So, hence the Mexico. That's why we do what we do, and I'm grateful that I have the opportunity to do that. This helped pave the way. And there was a lesson in this that I needed to heed these. And there was divine grace in this as well, because it was just the bone that was damaged. It was not my nervous system. I now am in much better shape than I was in 6 years ago. In fact, I'm in better shape now at 48 than I was when I was 18, which may sound weird to some, but it's really true when you make a decision to focus on your health. And there's that word again that keeps coming up, decide, decide, decide. It's the title of my book. Decide to Transform is the title of the show. And here's the deal. The lesson for me was heed the messages. Stay alert, stay aware of the messages, and that all of this happened for a reason, and I'll explain more about that. I didn't heed the messages, got in an auto accident, and wound up in the hospital, and it seemed like a really bad thing at the time. And this leads me to a general question that people have asked me throughout my career as a teacher, and that is, why do you suppose painful things happen? Why do you suppose painful things happen to people? And, you know, why are they happening to me? Right? And this is a really good question. And what I've said over the years is that, in truth, we may have unwittingly created this in the past with our own thoughts, with our own habits. I am perfectly willing to own and take responsibility for the fact that I, in a way, was responsible for creating the causes and conditions that led to the auto accident. Why? Because I didn't heed the messages, and I just decided I would keep my head down and keep going back for that next dollar. I mean, I became really, really attached to that. It was a really good financial period in my life, and I became attached to that. I may have unwittingly created that by refusing to heed these messages. And the one thing that I always want to tell people, I always want to tell you, is that you have the power of decision. You have the power of choice, which means you get to, not have to, but get to. Big difference. You get to change the narrative around your life. If you are able to heed the messages, to stay awake and alert to what your experience is trying to teach you, then you retain that power of decision and you will be able to make better choices. You'll be able to make choices that serve your better self, your highest best interest, rather than keep you stuck. You get to transform. You get to decide to transform. And another really excellent question that people have often asked me is, well, okay, so this is happening, this is going on, what can I do to keep myself positive around all of the hard stuff, or at least neutral so that I don't sink? In other words, how do I keep myself positive when the universe is dishing out pain and difficulty and frustration so that I don't allow that pain and difficulty and frustration to pull me down? Again, another really excellent general question that a number of people have asked me over the years. And what I find about a decision is something that I will repeat often on this show. And there are a number of things that you may be thinking, okay, I've heard this before. There's nothing new to this. Well, no. In fact, there's not. However, you're listening to this right now. Why? Why? Why are you listening to this right now? There is a reason why this message is being presented to you by me right now, today, on the 3rd of December. There's a reason why you're sitting here listening to this message right now. And it might be the 50th time that you've heard it. And that's okay. As adult learners, we obviously need to have things repeated again and again and again and again and again and again and again. Why? Because we don't get it. Or we refuse to get it. So there's a reason why you're hearing this right now. Let this be the moment. Let this be the day that this sinks in. That you have the power of choice. You can choose to pay attention to the messages. you can choose to redirect your life. You can choose to take care of yourself. You can choose to let go of things, situations, even people that don't serve you. You can make that decision, and what you can do to not sink in response to the question is you can decide again. Choose yet again and recommit. Once you make a decision to do something, to change, to transform, that is good and it has to happen. And next week on the show, we will actually be going through the power of decision and what is so critical about that, how it differs from a lot of other thought processes and choices that we could make. We'll go through that next week. And it's about recommitting because every moment of every day, we have a choice. We have a choice to move forward or go back, and standing still is most definitely going back. It doesn't serve your internal transformation. It doesn't serve your spiritual path to stay still. In no way does that ever serve your spiritual path to listen to limiting stories and to stay where you are. That's how people begin to feel stuck, like I felt stuck. I don't feel stuck anymore, luckily and happily, but I did feel stuck as a divorce and child custody mediator. So we recommit to these decisions again and again, as many times as we can, as many times as we must, until we're on the path of transformation, and then we're faced with further choices, further decisions, and we commit to that again. It never stops. And once you get into the flow of a process of personal transformation, what happens and what I have found is that I come to welcome that. Making the decision again and again, it's empowering. It may be scary at first, but it becomes empowering in time. When we come back, we'll take a look at lessons from the hard stuff here on Decide to Transform. We'll be right back.
Free your mind with Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
Hi, I'm Tomas Garza, host of Decide to Transform on Om Times Radio. Thank you for listening. You know, there's only so much we can cover on a one-hour show. If you'd like to hear further from me, I happily offer personalized teachings. Get your very own voice recording or book a one-on-one consultation. Ask a burning question and gain clarity on achieving massive transformation in your life. Details available on my website, TomasGarza.com.
I'm Fidel Nshombo. I was born in a city called Bukavu in the Congo. We were a loving family, and then, boom, everything that I had disappeared in a single day. People think that when you are a refugee and they resettle you to America, you know your problems are done. They don't understand that that's the beginning of everything. I was not born a refugee. I was made one.
It's time we welcome refugee families with open arms. Learn more at embracerefugees.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Decide to Transform. I'm your host, Tomas Garza. And before the break, we were taking some general questions from listeners. And I want to point out that I am very happy to receive questions from people. And I invite you to email me. That's tomas@tomasgarza.com. Or if we are connected on Facebook, you can always send me a private message or send me a friend request if you'd like to follow what I'm up to a little bit further. I am active there on social media, and I like to take listener questions because they're so interesting, and a number of the questions that I've answered over the last couple weeks have been general questions, the kind of things that people really want to know the answer to, and often people are not comfortable asking. So I take those, and I like to read a few of those on the air on every show. And I've got one that I really want to share. It's excellent. We're going to go through this one right now. And this question is from Christy from Miami. So Christy, thank you so much for sending this question from Miami. Why does it feel like I'm being punished when bad things happen? Ooh. Okay, why does it feel like I'm being punished when bad things happen? This is a great question. Thank you for submitting that. We can unwrap this in so many different ways. What helps me, and I'll just share, what helps me is when bad things happen, I have always felt the need to kind of grieve, and the auto accident's a perfect example. I did feel badly for a while. It was very frustrating and deeply saddening to not be able to walk. I quickly got rid of mediation, and that was good, and that was happy, which kept me upbeat a little bit. But it's very easy to fall back into the victimhood, isn't it? It's very easy as human beings to begin to blame and to seek fault, right? To try to pin our situation, our circumstance on someone else. And what I find really is not easy, but it's very powerful, is for us to begin to shift to a place of owning that. Shifting to, in other words, a place of taking responsibility for our lives, for our experience. And there is always a lesson in something nasty, in something that is difficult and painful. It's always there. It's just up to us to get to or keep ourselves, once we get there, in a space of being able to listen to the lessons and to decide to move on from that. So blame obviously doesn't help, but we go there as human beings. So the question becomes, how are we able to grow beyond this? And I find, personally, that it helps. It helps me to know, it helps me to tell myself that the universe has a lesson for us, that this is happening for a reason. Why? And I asked myself that as I lay in a hospital bed, as I used first a walker, then crutches, then a cane, trying to learn to walk, then stumbling around. And I used this phrase, almost like a mantra, that this is happening for a reason. What is it? This is happening for a reason. What is it? I did that as I stumbled around the house, as I thought for over a minute on how I was going to manipulate my arms and legs to do something as basic as opening the refrigerator. I thought about that, and I found that that helped. So this is something that can really help, and it takes time. And I think that what, Christy, for you and for everyone else listening, I think that it's very important that we have some patience with ourselves. That is so, so critical when we're dealing with something that's painful and frustrating that we would rather not be experiencing. Is there's something behind all this, and it could be a brand new version of yourself. And I'll explain what I mean by that. That was the case for me, that this is a brand new version of yourself. And what I want to say is that I wouldn't be where I am today without that universal smackdown on the 3rd of December, 2013. There's absolutely no way that I would be where I am. There is no way that I would have what I have now, and I have gone on to do completely different things, and I have moved far, far away from the person that I was, not just externally in terms of being able to go back and forth between Mexico and the United States, that's part of it, but mentally and spiritually, psychologically, emotionally, I have changed and transformed completely, and this was the catalyst. Didn't feel like it at the time, for sure, but with time I have grown to realize, okay, there were several lessons involved in this, and none of what I currently have as a published author, as an entrepreneur, as someone who is very happily married and able to travel with his wife to places like Mexico, to Arizona, and I've seen things that I wouldn't have seen otherwise. I've met people that I wouldn't have met otherwise. And if it weren't for this awful, atrocious car accident, I wouldn't be here speaking to you right now. So I wouldn't reach you. I wouldn't have heeded my call to step up and teach in different arenas, because that is exactly what's going on here. And if you teach people, if you are an instructor in any way in your professional life, you'll know this is exactly what's going on, is we're putting ourselves out there, we're sharing ourselves, we're sharing our experience, it's transparent, it's vulnerable, it's also honest, it's courageous, it's brave, and I love it, and I'm happy to serve. I'm happy to serve, and if you have particular questions about your own personal transformation, I want to invite you to send me an email. That's tomas@tomasgarza.com. That's without the H. This is the Spanish variety, T-O-M-A-S. And just let me know what I can do here on the show to answer some of your burning questions, or what I can do if you don't want to have those done on the show and you'd like to go a little bit deeper in private. Certainly let me know, send me an email at that address, and we can talk. I offer personalized teachings, things of that nature. But it's about, for me, stepping up, okay? And the lessons can unfold for years. It has taken me several years, 6 years to be exact, to arrive at this place. This show just debuted last week. This is my second, and I could happily talk about the lessons and the blessings that have come from this for several hours, but I won't, because we only have a few more minutes here today. I almost said this morning, because I am on the West Coast, and it's this morning, so if you're Central and Eastern time this afternoon, if you're elsewhere in the world, wherever you are. I know some of you are listening in from Australia and Asia and other places, so welcome again. And these lessons unfold. Sometimes it takes years, but there's a reason and there's divine timing for everything. And a negative situation can be, with time, seen as a gift. And it can be seen as a gift that keeps giving. So I want to ask, how have painful events helped you? How have painful events helped to shape you? Because if it weren't for all of those, you wouldn't be who you are today. You wouldn't have the resilience, possibly, that you have. You might not have the career that you have, the partnership, the relationship that you have. Without any of that, would you have learned these lessons, or would you have remained curled up in a ball like I was? You know, not necessarily physically, but emotionally, curled up in a ball, hiding, and the universe sent me a car accident to wake me up, to get me to begin to pay attention. And again, how have painful events helped you? It's a choice, and it's a decision to see the positive in whatever situation it is. So let's take a few moments here, and I'd like to lead you in a very short guided meditation, which will help you stay open. If you're not open right now, this is about openness. It is about acceptance. So get as comfortable as you're able right now. You may not be wrapped up in a comfortable couch with a blanket like I am. But if you are, just settle in here. And we'll do this in a few minutes here. Let's just take a moment and breathe in and just focus on your in-breath and feel the air filling your body. And on the exhale, feel the air leaving your body, the expanding and the contracting. And just for a moment, let your day just go. Whatever it is that you're thinking about, just let it go and place your attention and your awareness on your breath. And as you do, contemplate what is happening in your life. Is everything smooth and wonderful and peaceful? Or is it stressful? Are you dealing with a difficult situation, a boss, a relationship, a physical illness? Whatever it is that you're going through, just take a few moments and hold that in your mind as you continue to breathe normally. And what is life trying to teach you? What are the lessons here in your life? What is the universe trying to show you with whatever it is that you are currently going through? Does the universe have a different plan in mind for you? Does it have a different narrative that you can open to? And if you're aware of that and you find yourself resisting, can you do to let go of that resistance? What can you do to drop the resistance in your life? And how can you stay alert to the lessons and patient? How can you stay open and accept? There is always a lesson for you in every circumstance, and things always happen for a reason. What is that? And take your time to come out of this brief meditation and take a couple more deep breaths in and out. And as you keep yourself comfortable, know that there are many teachers in this life, that every situation is, in fact, the teacher. Even something as violent as an automobile accident, even something as painful and difficult as a 6.5 hour surgery, scar tissue, and learning to walk again. What is life trying to teach you? Because every situation is, in fact, the teacher. And the teacher takes different forms. In fact, the form of the teacher does not matter. The teacher can be a person. It can be a thing. What is that for you? We will see you next week on Decide to Transform on Om Times Radio. Thank you for listening. Have a great day.